and thanks for over 33 years of support.
90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City, Community Radio. Streaming online at www.kkfi.org.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Hello and good morning. Welcome to Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. Today, we have a pioneer who is going to tell his story, and he's been a pioneer in more ways than one, and that is Sheriff Del Forte. He was the first African-American police chief here in Kansas City, but he's also been the first African-American sheriff. And what many people may not know is that he is a prostate cancer survivor. So he's going to be with us this morning. And then we have Dr. Laura Kutan, who is an oncologist with University Health. And we're going to be telling men the importance of getting screened for prostate cancer and things you should be asking. Good morning, Sheriff Forte. Are you with us, sir?
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine. So we're going to let Dr. Kutan go first. Dr. Kutan, can you tell listeners a little bit about yourself? Are you originally from Kansas City?
No, I'm not. I'm a Canadian, actually, so I'm a transplant here.
Well, as long as you're still rooting for the Chiefs, we'll be good to go.
Oh, absolutely.
So, well, one of your Canadians used to play for us, Dr. Tardif, who is now up in New York, but he was one of the people who opted out during the COVID year to go treat people. So,
yes, absolutely. He's an amazing guy.
So, Dr. Kutan, how long have you been a family provider and oncologist, and how long have you worked with University Health?
I've been with University Health since 2015, practicing in oncology, yes.
And Sheriff Forte, can you tell us just a little bit about yourself? We all know that you, as I said, you were the first African-American police chief here in Kansas City. You're a pioneer groundbreaker. Then you went on to be the first African-American sheriff here. But tell us a little bit about that people may not know about you, sir.
Well, I was born and raised in Kansas City. My mom raised five of us by herself. And I'm just glad to be on your show and glad to be able to share this experience. I know God is in charge, and I knew that early on when I was diagnosed. So I just wanted to be able to share this message. I hope someone will get something out of this and they actually go get tested as a result of listening to us today.
So Sheriff Forte, as I said, you were the first African-American selected as chief of police of Kansas City, and you continue making history now being the first African-American sheriff of Jackson County. How does that make you know that you're a trailblazer and pioneer in doing things that people have never done before?
You know, I think as a kid, when I was in the sixth grade, I decided I wanted to be in law enforcement. And of course, I was rejected. I told my story before. The first time when I was 21, went back to 23, and the rest is history. So, you know, I feel good about it. And again, once I get public attention, I'd like to always share. I appreciate their support. I wouldn't be able to do this and wouldn't be here now in this position had God not put the right people in my life and guided me and coached me and stop me from doing some things that I wanted to do early on as a young police officer. So I just want to say thank you to the community, and I don't take it for granted, and that's why I'm out there every day earning votes and earning confidence in people prior to conflict. So I want to continue to do that the entire time I'm in law enforcement. I think that's important, especially as being the first African-American sheriff. That's important for me to do. It's only two African-American sheriffs in the entire state of Missouri. So I don't take it lightly, and again, I appreciate the support, and again, I know I didn't get here by myself. God put the right people around me. I just want to make sure I make that clear that just thank you. I just thank you for giving me this opportunity on KKFI this morning. You give me plenty of opportunity to share my stories about different things. So, Joe, I appreciate you more than you know.
No, I appreciate you coming on, because this is something that we definitely need to be looking at and not being fear about. Sheriff, you're here today to share your personal story about prostate cancer. What made you decide to get tested, and did you have any signs or symptoms that you had stage 1 prostate cancer?
I had uh, I I'd regularly gone to get an annual physical. And then in 2012, my primary care physician noticed that my numbers were a little elevated. And so at that time, he talked to me about some things and what that meant. It wasn't really elevated enough to really be a lot concerned about it, just something that we were going to monitor for a while. I found a urologist, Dr. Tejan, in Lee's Summit. I did some research, and that's in 2012, did some research. And so I went to him after the numbers were a little high. I went to him, and they I forgot what they called it, but some sign, active monitoring or something like that. Well, he decided he'd monitor me in the numbers. And then in 2019, the numbers went up quite a bit. They were gradually going up, but then they did a real jump. So I think it ended up at 9. I started off like at a 4, and they ended up at a 9 over that time span. So, and they continued to test me, of course, the PSA test through the digital rectal exam and then the blood test screening. And then in September 2019, after I had some biopsies and things like that, I had some biopsies early on, years before that, but nothing was found. I think they took 12 samples each time, but nothing was found. And then biopsy in 2019, they found a small segment of cancer in my prostate. And that's when I elected to go ahead and do something about it. And I was given the option to wait even a little longer because then I don't understand the whole process of this or whole ranking system of the cancer. But it was so low. And he said we can watch it a little longer, you know, see if it had grown. It hadn't spread at all. It was just one small piece and one biopsy. So I elected to go ahead and get treatment. So I started my treatment, hormone therapy, in November. Then I started my radiation treatments in January of 2020. I didn't tell anybody except the immediate family and a few close friends. I went to work every day after I did the treatment. I'd go to work, come home, change clothes and something comfortable, go to radiation treatment, come back home, take a shower, and go to work. And I did that for 43 treatments. And then a week after treatment, I came out public with it.
So, Dr. Kutan, how important is early detection when it comes to prostate cancer?
The short answer there is very important. The longer answer is yes. Early detection helps us to find and treat prostate cancer before it turns into a more aggressive stage. When we talk about cancers in general, staging tells us how far the cancer has spread, right? Somebody with an earlier stage prostate cancer has a very localized cancer that hasn't spread yet to other parts of the body. And so early detection helps us find it before it goes to a higher stage of cancer.
So, Sheriff Forte, you got the diagnosis, you heard those words, cancer, yeah. Prostate cancer. What is the first thing that went through your mind?
And this is something I probably shouldn't have done, but in 2012, I kept saying, I know there's something in there, they just can't find it. I should have never, you know, kept saying that. I should have said, thank you, God, that I don't have anything. I learned that afterwards and after, you know, reading some things. I think the first thing I thought about was, at least they found it. I knew it was in there, at least they found it. I remember where I was going down Lee Summit Road, and when the urologist called me on a Saturday and said, hey, Darrell, I just want to tell you, got the results back, and this is what you have, stage one, you know. And he said, you don't have to do anything immediately. My nurse will call you, and we can talk about it. And I said, you know, I appreciate, you know, you want me to call your nurse, but can you tell me a little bit now? I don't want to get off the phone now. I want to find out now instead of waiting 2 weeks or so. And he stayed on the phone with me probably 45 minutes explaining my options. And I felt much better then. One thing I tell people not to do, when you're diagnosed or you think you have something, don't get on the internet. When my numbers were high in 2012, after my urologist appointment, I came home, got on the internet, because I didn't know what questions to ask the urologist. I just wanted to meet him, you know, and get under his care. And don't get on the internet, start looking there. They're going to have you dead in a month. So talk to a medical professional, you know, someone that knows what's going on, but don't talk to your friends and their friends' friends and your uncles that say, oh, my friend had that. He lasted 3 months. Hear all this craziness. So that's one thing I say don't do. And I did that early on, but once I was diagnosed and it was confirmed that I had it and that I needed treatment, I didn't get on the internet and I didn't go talking to everybody that told me their cousin had it or their uncle had it and they're dead now. You don't hear all those stories. And I was on my way to fish and go to Quick Trip and get some tea. And after I talked to the urologist, I didn't cancel my plans. I went and got my tea, went fishing, and I didn't tell my wife until later that night. I was sitting around saying, hey, the doctor called me today and this is what I got, you know, and then And she wasn't surprised because she knew I wasn't all excited about everything. But I thought, you know, I'm good. You know, what the doctor told me, I'm good. I got some options. And then the option that I selected, he actually said that would be the option. He didn't tell me which one to select, but after I selected the option of chemo wasn't even an option. That's nothing that was ever brought up, but radiation. And he said, rather than the prostatectomy, he said that's the option. Had he had this kind of cancer, that's what he was selected. But he wasn't guiding me to anywhere. He just told me the different options and let me select. So that made me feel better. And the only serious side effects I had to that, the radiation wasn't real bad, but the hormone therapy, I understood what my wife was going through when she was going through menopause, the hot flashes. I remember it being 12, 13 degrees outside, and I had the air conditioner on and the car and the windows down. I mean, it was miserable. So, that taught me something, too, to be a little more sensitive to other people, because when she was, you know, fanning herself and all that, I'm thinking, oh, this is ridiculous. But then when I had it, it made me a little more sensitive. So, you know, everything happened for a reason. But I just tell people, get checked. The fear factor out there, especially for black men, where this is the highest rate of cancer in black men, more common in black men, I should say. But I've talked to so many people, even after I started talking about it. So many people are afraid. You know, the digital rectal exam. You know, they said they don't want to feel violated. And I tell them there's a blood test. Go to a medical professional and let them help you decide what might be best for you. But, yeah, it was a shock. You know, I'm not going to lie to you. It was a shock. You know, I was thinking that something was there. I was glad that it was found early. But, yeah, it was a shock. Anytime someone says cancer, you're thinking, oh, man. So I said, just calm down. And just, you know, God's going to get you through this. And guess what? I'm through it and no side effects now. And life is good.
So, Dr. Kutan, what he did was abnormal because he, instead of, once they tell you you've got COVID, you got the common cold, you're out on the internet, you're researching everything. But how critical is it to just take it step by step? As I tell my kids, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? Instead of trying to eat it all at one time, how critical is it to make a plan, develop, and go forward with that instead of trying to figure out as much as you need to know, but we're not medical professionals?
Absolutely, and I see it all the time of people before coming into the office going onto the internet. The internet can be a great thing if you're looking in the right places, though. So if you really, really want to look on the internet, you know, look at things from highly ranked health institutions, things like the Mayo Clinic, you know, hospital websites. I wouldn't go on to forums where it's, you know, a bunch of who knows who's talking and giving their opinion about cancer. So definitely speaking with a healthcare professional is what you want to be doing. Otherwise, it will just get you more worried and give you more anxiety. And exactly like the sheriff said, you know, you'll be dead in a month according to the internet, right? And that's the thing with prostate cancer. It's not just a single disease. There are many, many different forms of prostate cancer in terms of aggressiveness. And the vast majority of men who are diagnosed with prostate cancer die of other causes. And prostate cancer found at an early stage, one of the treatment options, as he sort of mentioned, is active surveillance. And so what we do for those patients is close monitoring, repeat blood tests without actually treating the cancer, because we know that most prostate cancers are not very aggressive. And so that can be a treatment option, is to monitor it closely. And deciding on your treatment options is something that you need to talk to with a healthcare professional, absolutely, who can tell you about the aggressiveness of your cancer. And give you some of the pros and cons of different treatment options, which can be things like surgery, like the sheriff mentioned, or radiation therapy, hormonal therapy. There's a whole laundry list of things. And so talking to a healthcare professional is really what you want to be doing.
So, Dr. Kutan, as we're talking about it, you know, you've got that diagnosis, you've went in, you know, at that point in time, a lot of people, especially as he's saying, African Americans, unfortunately, we're at a higher risk for prostate cancer. And why is that?
Good question. I don't think anybody knows the answer to that question, whether it's that cancer in African Americans is just more aggressive, or whether it's a lack of access to healthcare in general. And both of those sort of hypotheses have been looked at. And I don't think anybody has a good answer to that. But the important thing is knowing that you are at higher risk, right? This can inform you in terms of how important it is for you to undergo screening. other factors besides race or ethnicity, age. So prostate cancer, I hate to say it, is a disease of age. So we rarely see it in men under the age of 50. So as we get older, the risk for prostate cancer increases. Other risk factors include things like diet. We know that diets high in animal fat, saturated fat, increase the risk for prostate cancer. So eating your vegetables, your broccoli, your cauliflower, all of these things are good and helpful to help decrease your risk.
So, Sheriff Forte, I read on your Facebook page, you have these conversations actively with people, and today you want to get that message out. What is the most important thing that you want people to know about prostate cancer and how it can impact them?
I think the primary message is letting everyone know prostate cancer can be cured when it's detected and treated early. Like the doctor just said, early detection, that's going to be key. You know, that's going to be key. I didn't take it lightly when my numbers were slightly elevated. Didn't take it lightly when the urologist, Dr. Teason, told me that I could still do the watchful monitoring or whatever term that was used. I just think, getting with the medical professional. So don't be shy about it. I've talked to so many black males out in the community after, I shared my story, that they were afraid to get tested. I'm thinking, afraid of what? You know, that again, the violation of the digital rectal exam, that was a common deal. Some didn't even have a primary care physician. So I've always told them about Dr. Aaron Ellison, who I've been with for years. So just spreading that message. Don't be afraid. You know, you're going to be afraid when you have it in a stage four and you knew something was wrong, but you didn't go to the doctor. And I've even offered, and I'll offer here, if someone needs the help with copayment, call me, 816-492-1076, 816-492-1076. And we don't have to share it with anyone. We don't have to talk about, that I help them with a copay or anything else. But anyone that actually needs, and I'm not talking about, I'm just going to hand you some money. I'll go with you and pay the copay or something like that. I'm not trying to get into any people trying to make a little change. But just things like that. I'm here to help. And like I said before, I'm in this position for a reason. Being in, visible as a sheriff and former police chief, and I had prostate cancer. So I want to be able to use this position. Like I said, I know God put me here for a reason, and this is part of the reason. To be able to have a platform to share my message and hopefully save some lives. And I have talked to some people that after they found out about my situation, they went and was examined, and they had cancer or had something else, diabetes, whatever. So I think the word's getting out there, and I got to continue to do this as long as I have a platform to do it, to make sure people know that there's help out there, and there's free help at some places. So get on the internet, check those out too. The centers here, I won't put the names out there because I don't want to say Forte had people coming over here. But just do some research, and there's some places that you can get tested free. Sometimes there are things in the community where they offer testing, some of these health fairs and things like that. So take advantage of those things if you don't want to go to a doctor or you don't have a primary care physician. Take advantage of some of those health fairs and things like that.
So Dr. Kutan, you said this is primarily a disease of age. So when should men start getting tested to see if they may have prostate cancer?
That's a great question. Excuse me. And so always talk to your doctor about that. In general, we recommend usually around the age of 50 to start talking about doing that blood test as a screening test for prostate cancer, sometimes a little bit earlier. So, for example, one other risk factor that we didn't mention earlier is if you have a family history of prostate cancer. Specifically, if your father or any of your brothers have a history of prostate cancer, that puts you at increased risk. So you'd want to let your doctor know that, and they may talk about doing blood testing even earlier than the age of 50. And typically, it's done every 2 years once you start the screening process with the blood testing.
And I know people need to understand that because my dad, he had colon cancer, so that made me at a higher risk to have colon cancer. And I think I was 45 when I had the first screening. But the word, people may hear the word cancer and it may scare you, but my dad was in his late 70s. He didn't pass away until he was in his 90s, and it wasn't from colon cancer. So sometimes just that word can impact fear. But as you said, as you're saying, as a sheriff is saying, get informed, get knowledgeable, find out your choices, and make the best decisions based off of that.
Yes, absolutely. And fear can come from a lot of different things. A lot of men are, yes, fearful of learning that they have cancer. Some men are the opposite. They're fearful of learning they have cancer too late. And so they want to do everything they can to detect it early, which would be with, you know, screening blood tests and things like that.
So Sheriff Forte, how long ago was your, you said 2012 when it came out, but when you were actively diagnosed with it, how long ago was that, and are you now cancer, are you still cancer free?
Yes, I consider myself cancer free. There's nothing. My PSA levels are down where the urologist thought they would be after treatment. It took a while for it to come down, but it was gradually coming down. Like I said, I still have my prostate, so I'll have a PSA level. I'll always have a PSA level, but it's down way lower than it's ever been. So it was a success. I was getting tested every 3 months. Now it's every 6 months, and the number's stable now. It's going to be it's as low as it's going to get, and it's below a one, and that's great. And I want to share a couple of signs and symptoms. I had no signs and symptoms other than elevated PSA. Sometimes the signs can be burning or pain during urination. It could be more frequent urination at night, loss of bladder control, and it's a whole lot of other things out there. So, and one or two of those things doesn't mean you have it. You have to be diagnosed by a medical professional. Just because you're getting up more at night doesn't mean you have it. Just because you're burning or pain during urination, it could be something else. So I'm not trying to scare anyone, but if you have any of those symptoms and some other symptoms, just go talk to someone that knows what's going on, and because you'd rather know better, rather know sooner than later. It makes a difference. And when I was going to my radiation treatment, it's like an assembly line. You go in and you go back to the room. They do your radiation, and it's people waiting, like two or three waiting after you, and then you just cycle around like that. I probably was the youngest one there in that time spot. And then a couple of weeks ago, I met a guy at Quick Trip, and he was 45 when he was diagnosed. He recognized me from my story, and we started talking in Quick Trip. And he was diagnosed at 45, and he had his treatment then. We just stopped and talked in Quick Trip. And I was glad to hear that. He was diagnosed at 45. And then I found out, too, about 10% of men diagnosed with prostate cancer are under 55, according to a couple of things I read. So, it's uncommon, but it happens. So get tested. If you have any signs, get tested. Then don't wait, and don't be fearful of it. Have someone go with you if you need to. Do some research, like the doctor said, from credible sources. That's an excellent idea, credible sources. And that way you can better educate yourself about what might be going on. But a medical professional can tell you best how you might be able to treat that and how they might be able to detect that.
So Dr. Sen, he talks about a PSA. What is the PSA test? And can you tell us just a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So the PSA test is a simple blood test. And the PSA stands for a prostate-specific antigen. So it's a protein that is produced by the prostate, and it's detected in the blood test. And an abnormal level can be for a number of different reasons, not only prostate cancer. So for example, if you have an infection in the prostate, that can cause the test to be abnormal. Ejaculation can cause the test to be abnormal as well. And so just having one PSA test that is abnormal doesn't automatically give you a diagnosis of prostate cancer. Oftentimes, the next step is to simply repeat the test in a few weeks or a few months after whatever we think was the cause of it has resolved itself, whether it's an infection and you've taken some antibiotics or whatnot. And so the PSA test essentially is just a simple blood test.
So there's no intrusion. It's just like you're giving blood, they're trying to determine your A1C or your red blood count, different things like that. And most likely they can maybe use the same sample of that blood that they're going to use for the A1C or for your red blood cell to do a simple PSA test.
Yes, that's exactly right. And the sheriff brought up another good point as well, is that most men with prostate cancer have zero symptoms whatsoever. That's not uncommon. And that's why it's so important to do a blood test, because it can find it early before you develop symptoms. That's the goal, is to find these things before you actually develop pain or trouble with urination or things like that.
So sort of like the symptoms for heart attacks in women, they call them the silent killer. So this is the same way for African Americans and for people who are higher risk, that it's a silent killer, and you may not know that you have it until you're more advanced in stage one or stage two.
Exactly. And again, that highlights the importance of early detection testing. And the symptoms are also, not necessarily 100% associated with prostate cancer, like the sheriff mentioned. The symptoms can be things like trouble with urination. And the most common cause of that is simply an enlarged prostate. But just having an enlarged prostate is not always necessarily cancer. That can oftentimes be a benign or non-cancerous condition. So that is why it can be difficult to detect by symptoms.
So, Sheriff Forte, how critical or important was it for you to get that information on the diagnosis and treatment options that were available in helping you make the decision that you made it as related to your treatment?
You know, I think it's very important that to go in informed and know all your options and have competent medical staff. I think that's key, having medical staff or medical professionals that you trust when they tell you about the options, when they tell you, like the doctor just said, I think that was a great point about when you go in and do a PSA blood testing and your numbers are a little high or something. There's some other factors in that, and I think that's good information to know. And if you have competent, I think, medical professionals conducting your exam, they will tell you that, where you won't be alarmed because your numbers are a little high because, you know, for whatever reason. And it's a process, not a one-time deal. You have to go, and the doctor was right, because when I went in and it was high, they said, okay, come back in a couple of weeks. I mean, exactly what she's saying. So when you get competent medical professional help, they can explain these things to you. You know, we want you to come back again in 2 weeks, or we have to check this again because it could be high because of this, could be high because of an infection. It could be high for whatever reason, and it doesn't mean cancer. Somebody explained that early on when your numbers are high and you're doing research. It doesn't mean that you're ill in any kind of way, be it for a number of valid reasons. So I think that's an excellent point to throw out there. But to answer your question, Joe, just being informed, and not being afraid so much so that you don't get care and you don't even try to find out what's going on. And like the doctor said again, that sometimes there's no signs or symptoms. We're walking around. I was feeling fine when I had a high PSA. I was feeling fine when I was diagnosed with cancer. No other signs other than the high PSA that caused the biopsies and those sorts of things. So again, pay attention. There's not always outwardly signs. You know, that we're walking around every day at home and we'll know. So, and not just for prostate cancer, but I tell everyone, men, women, and everyone else, get your regular physicals. There's some things that can be detected that you know that can be cured or managed. So don't be afraid and don't wait until something's all the way down and you're losing weight and those kind of things and then you go, because you know it could be a lot more complex then. So just, you know, schedule regular physicals, do the right thing, eat right every day, and move, those kind of things, so we don't put ourselves in situations where we're trying to backtrack and trying to improve some things that we should have never been in those situations because of our own choices, poor choices.
So, Dr. Katan, as he's talking about, you've talked about the PSA. Are there other tests that can be done to detect prostate cancer?
Good question. A common test that many men don't like to undergo is the digital rectal exam, right? Where a finger is placed into the rectum to feel the prostate. It's a limited test because you can't feel the entire prostate, so the cancer has to be in an area where you'd be able to feel it on the exam. So it's not a great test to screen for prostate cancer. The blood test tends to give us more information. That being said, if you're having symptoms, the doctor will definitely perform an exam, because if they do find an abnormality, that requires further testing. Further testing can be things like imaging studies. So an ultrasound or an MRI to get a better look at the prostate and find any abnormalities. They may see an enlargement somewhere that isn't supposed to be there that can help us give clues that there might be cancer there. And so those are some of the next steps. A biopsy is another test, and a biopsy is where they go and get a piece of the tissue to see whether there are any cancer cells present.
So we're going to take a short break. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI. This is Cowtown Conversations, and I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. Our guest today is Dr. Laura Katan and Sheriff Daryl Forte, and we're talking about prostate cancer and the importance of getting a screen. Stay tuned right back after this short break. We're back. This is Joseph Jackson hosting Cowtown Conversations on 90.1 FM KKFI. And our guest today is Sheriff Daryl Forte and Dr. Laura Katan, who is an oncologist with University Health. And we're talking about prostate cancer and the importance of getting a screen for prostate cancer. So as we left off, Dr. Katan just talked about different ways to get evaluation. And what people may need to know, Dr. Catan, is that the prostate is only about the size of a walnut. So it's kind of a, it's not something that you can get the entire range because you can only do part of it. So the PSA, but also the digital exam is very important because sometimes doctors can feel something that they then order the PSA test and kind of go from there.
Exactly. You're exactly right. And I guess we probably should talk about what is the prostate. I don't know if many men out there know what the prostate is. And like you said, it is a small gland, and it's located just underneath of the bladder in front of the rectum. And its job is basically to produce fluid for the sperm to travel in. So it releases the fluid into the urethra, which is a small tube that then runs out the tip of the penis.
So, Sheriff Forte, what method was used to confirm your prostate cancer? Did you have you had the high PSA, you said, but did you also have a biopsy at that point in time also when those numbers actually came back?
Absolutely. What the doctor talked about, I had every one of them. I had the blood testing, which revealed the high numbers, and then had biopsy, ultrasound, had imaging, and of course, regularly doing the physical, they did the digital rectal exam. But my prostate felt, according to the urologist and my primary care physician, Dr. Elson, my prostate felt normal. They were feeling, I guess, for abnormalities. And the DRE, the digital rectal exam, where they actually insert a finger into your backside, that's what a lot of us were afraid of. For years, I was afraid of that. For years, from the time I was in my 20s all the way up until my 50s. And then when they told me that I might have something in there, the numbers are rather high, but they couldn't find it, I didn't care what they did then. I'm just thinking, if I have something, find it, you know, because they, I don't understand the whole medical concept, but from both my urologist and primary care physicians, when they did the digital rectal exam, they would say, well, everything feels normal. It's not enlarged. You know, nothing feels abnormal, but we need to get you a test of this, whether it be imaging, whether it be whatever it was. So, again, a great team. When you have a great medical team working with you, they communicated back and forth, meaning primary care physician and the urologist. That made me feel comfortable because I'm thinking they know what they're doing. They're sending the reports back and forth, and when I go to one, they said, yeah, we got the report from the doctor there. We got the report from the doctor, the urologist out here. So, and I think just having that confidence level in the, and those that are around you that are encouraging you, and this is something that helped in a huge way. Pray. I knew from the moment that when I was on Lee Summit Road and the urologist called me on that Saturday, I knew I was going to be just fine. I knew I was going to be just fine. I don't know how I knew that, but I just had a peace about me and said, everything's going to work out. You know, I'm 50-something years old. I guess I'm 57 or so. Everything's going to work out. I'm not worried about it. And another thing that came out of this that's long-term and it'll be with me the rest of my life, I've never been a person that worried about a lot of things. I've never been, I don't miss sleep, worrying about anything. I don't care about what people say about me. I'm 60 and I never drank alcohol, never smoked anything. So I have a strong personality when it comes to doing what I think is right. I've messed up in a whole bunch of other areas, but at least not those two. So it helped me in a way when all this noise is going on, especially being the first black sheriff, and all this noise is going on and people saying this and that, I could care less. I tell myself, man, you had cancer. Well, all this other noise and people talking and all this kind of stuff, it really has no significance on my lifestyle. And so that's another thing that came out of this. I came out stronger. And again, I have a story that I can share with others that might help them in health-related issues, whether it be prostate cancer, colon cancer, whatever it is. You know, go get checked. Get regular medical exams so you'll know what's going on with your body. So I don't say poor me. I think God, thank you for giving me this opportunity to do what I do and be able to share this message through these platforms. So it's been a good journey. It's been a good journey.
So, Dr. Catan, what is the normal range for a PSA? And, you know, at what point in time should people start saying, okay, the doctor come back and says, you know, your PSA, what's the highest it can go? And at what point should we start, somebody tells you you've got a high PSA, should you start being concerned at that point in time?
So that's an excellent question. And one to which there's no good answer to. The PSA levels can vary depending on age. So there can be slightly different ranges depending on how old the patient is. If you really want to pin me down to a number, Some physicians will say, okay, 4 is sort of the cutoff. If it's higher than that, maybe we need to be doing something, or at least repeating the test. But the most important thing is not necessarily the absolute number, but looking at it over time. So looking at it compared 1 year to 2 years later to a few years later, if it's the same, then that is reassuring. If it's slowly, slowly going up and up and up over time, then that tells us, okay, maybe this is something that we need to investigate a little bit further.
And that requires that you have a doctor and a team that you see regularly, and you're getting these blood tests that you're going to need, whether you're a man or a woman. And I know we're going to do a segment next week, folks, of Ask the Doctor, where we, you know, things that you should be talking about at physical, you know, we see COVID coming back up, the cough, the flu, so those are things we're going to be talking about next week, but that you have a regular primary care physician and that you do annual physicals each year.
Absolutely. So the PSA will be for men, but we talked about briefly colonoscopies as well as a screening test for colon cancer, and that will be for both men and for women. In addition to, there's also newer tests to screen for colon cancer as well, where you can submit a stool sample, essentially, instead of having the colonoscopy procedure.
So, Sheriff Forte, what was the most difficult part of your diagnosis and treatment in your journey through beating cancer?
I think the most difficult part was trying not to let the information get out too soon. Being the first black sheriff and some of the things that I've gone through, which is not bad, it helped me grow. I didn't want people to think, oh, Daryl's sick, so we can attack him now. That was on my mind. I don't know if it should have been, but I'm thinking, I can't put this out because people are going to think, well, he's dying, so now let's go after him even more. So I think that was part of my paranoia on some things just from life, you know, being a black male in Jackson County growing up. I just had some of those things. I'm thinking, I got a lot of things I want to do, and then I had to tell myself, slow down. You know, you got to take care of yourself. So, like I said, the process, go to work, come home, go to treatment, come back home, then go to work for 43 treatments. That was kind of stressful for me because I'm thinking, I don't want people to know. I don't want anybody. I don't want any pity. Let me just get through this thing, and then I'll share after the fact. But I didn't want to, you know, have to answer all those questions while I was going through this. I tried to sleep right, you know, eat right, and just say, what do I need to do to help this treatment? What do I need to do? So that was probably the biggest pressure point on that. Of course, my mom and my siblings knew, and some other close people, of course, my wife and daughters. But that was probably the biggest thing, saying, hey, don't get this thing out there so it won't be a pity party every time somebody sees you saying, how you doing? You know, are you doing okay? And that kind of stuff. I just didn't want to have to answer all those questions. So that was a relief, and it was a blessing. My urologist, the nurse in my urologist's office, was the one that gave me my hormone shot, and her dad was a deputy sheriff at the time. He's since retired. And when she gave me my shot, I'm thinking, oh, man, everybody's going to know. And then I thought about the deputy, high-caliber deputy, professional. So I'm thinking, he raised his daughter. If she's like him, I don't have anything to worry about. And guess what? It never came out. It never came out. I shared that information during his deputy's retirement. And then I talked about how his daughter gave me the shot. And I first thought about, man, this is – I'm now going to get out. You know, that was in, I believe, October, November when I got that shot. And I'm thinking it's going to get out. It never got out. And then again, I was reassured because I'm a professional urologist, and I know his staff is professional, and I know her dad, who's the deputy, had been there for years. And I just told my wife, I'm not worried about it now. But that was a thing on my mind at first for half a day or so when I came home. I'm thinking, he's a good guy, high integrity. I know he raised her right. So it never came out. So that was a few of the things I was thinking about. And I didn't want my mom worried, you know. And I did, like I said, I didn't have a lot of side effects other than the hot flash. And I was exhausted a couple of different times. I mean, I was physically exhausted. One time I had to park, and I thought about calling the ambulance because I didn't have any energy. And then it came back. So I'm thinking, oh, man, I got to call somebody. And within an hour, I was 100% again. Well, not 100, but I was good enough to drive home and things. Little things like that you just don't know what your body's going through, especially through the hormonal therapy piece. That was probably the hardest part, just being tired different days and having to continue to function regularly. I didn't miss a single day from work. Didn't miss a single day from work doing none of that time, none of that time. And then looking back on it, I probably should have taken off a few days here and there, but it's just one of those work ethic things. So if you're going through some things, care of you and don't worry about the other stuff. You know, take care of you. But again, I just kept saying, man, you got to keep doing what you're doing. You can't stop. You got to go in early, stay late, and do what you do. You know, you got something to do here. But I think looking back on it, if I had to do it over again, I would probably just take a few more days off here and there and not work all day and those kind of things. And I don't have nothing to prove.
So, Dr. Catan, what are some signs that people may have, that men may have, specifically because this is a disease that is strictly for men, that, okay, he's meant to, you know, he didn't have any symptoms, but if, you know, if we may have a little bit of something here or there, what are something that we may need to look at to say, when I go to my doctor next time, that I maybe need to have a PSA test, even if I'm below, you know, 50, then maybe, you know, we can start looking at some things differently.
Exactly. So first thing, not a sign, but we'll get into it in a second. Again, we talked about family history, right? And so if you have close family members, fathers, brothers with a history of prostate cancer, that definitely warrants a discussion with your doctor about doing some testing early. And not even just men in your family, women in your family as well. So women don't have prostates, but there are genetic cancer conditions that are associated with prostate cancer. So, for example, Angelina Jolie, right? She had the bilateral mastectomies because she had a BRCA or BRCA gene mutation, a breast cancer gene mutation. That same gene mutation is associated with prostate cancer as well. And so your doctor knowing that you may have a family history of breast cancer can also put you at a higher risk for prostate cancer. Now, that's not true for everyone, but if you have that gene mutation, it's important information to know. Now, clinical signs that you might feel are pretty vague, actually. So you may notice that you're having to go to the bathroom more frequently or other changes in your urinary patterns. You may notice blood in the urine. That can definitely be a sign, and I'm sure that you would go talk to your doctor if you experienced that. Later signs of prostate cancer, especially if it had spread to other parts of the body, can be things like bone pain. The bone is the most common place for prostate cancer to spread, and so those are some other symptoms that men can experience. But again, some of the urinary symptoms can also be symptoms of things like a urinary tract infection or simply an enlarged prostate. So just because you're having a symptom doesn't necessarily mean you automatically have cancer. You just definitely need to talk to a healthcare professional so they can decide which route to take, what sort of testing you need to do.
And those are great points. And what I also want to mention this is that breast cancer is not only men can be impacted by breast cancer. So just because you may think that that's just something for women, men can also be impacted by breast cancer. So don't think that we're out of that jungle also.
Exactly. And because of that gene mutation, if a man has a history of breast cancer, we always worry about prostate cancer in that same individual.
So Sheriff Forte, so you now have regular examinations, healthcare examinations, but do you do that, one, to combat, to make sure that this doesn't come back up, but also to make sure that you're on top of any of the health challenges that could happen to you?
Yeah, I do the every 3 months I do the PSA screening through a blood test, and then now it's every 6 months. So yes, I'll schedule another physical in January or February 2023, a complete physical.
And Dr. Catan, so as we're talking about that, do you do just one PSA a year? If you do, like when you do your annual physical, do you just need to do one a year and then keep going to the same doctor? Or if you change doctors, have your file forwarded to the new doctor so they've got access to that old information?
Absolutely. Anytime you change doctors, you want to make sure that you move those medical records from office to office, because that PSA level, it's important to have that baseline. Because if we just do a random PSA test, if we know that the result is 4, but last year or 2 years ago it was 1, that's more concerning than if last year it was 3 or if it was also 4, right? So if it stayed the same over time, that's more reassuring.
So Sheriff Forte, you said you didn't drink, you didn't smoke. Did you have any of the risk factors? Did you have a family history of cancer or anything that may have made you more at risk to develop prostate cancer?
Only a cousin and an uncle. But I had no siblings, and my dad didn't, nothing. My dad's 83 and has no major issues.
So, Dr. Catan, so as we talked about earlier, you know, you can, if you've got, like I said, my dad had colon cancer, so that gives me, I have to watch out for that. What are there any other things that we definitely need to look at as far as, you know, prostate cancer specifically? You know, how far back is it? Just your father or your father's brothers? How big is that family pool need to be looking at that we need to know that information on?
Great question. So the biggest risk is what we call first degree relatives, which would be your father or your brother. Also good to know uncles, cousins, things like that. But the risk of prostate cancer is not quite as great as if it was your father or your brother. But that being said, 90% of prostate cancer is not related to family history and just sort of comes up related to other factors, other risk factors. And so it's only about 10% of men that are diagnosed with prostate cancer that have that sort of hereditary component to it.
So, Sheriff Forte, you're freely telling your story. You want other people to know, especially those in the African-American community, you know, that this is something that you may be afraid of, but it's something that if caught early, it doesn't impact your life. You know, why is that so important to you so that other people know?
It can impact your quality of life. You catch it early, you can have a normal life like me, like I said, and get with competent professionals to help you through this. Had I not been getting regular physicals and it was detected slightly with a high level of PSA in 2012, if I didn't go until now, who knows how high it would have been and what the treatments might have been. Like I said, chemo wasn't even an option. That was never even mentioned. I was on the low-level option treatments, and like I said, only 43 radiation treatments, and I was given the option to even continue to monitor because I forgot what they call the Gleason score, I believe it is, was rather low, and the doctor was saying, you know, it went from like a 5 or a 6 or 7, something like that, to a 9 rather quickly. It elevated quicker than it had been elevating over the years, and that's what made both the urologist and the primary care physicians concerned about it, which I'm glad. I just say, you know, just pay attention to your body, and even if you're feeling great and you're thinking everything's great, you know, get regular exam. You know, just schedule a regular exam so just to make sure. You want to live a long, healthy life. Not just long, but you want to be healthy and be able to do what you want to do. And in my case, early detection, prostatectomy wasn't an option for me. They talked about it, but with the type of cancer that I had and the growth pattern of it, I could still be waiting. I didn't have to go through treatment, but again, when I found out something foreign within me, I wanted to make sure we addressed it then. So just, you know, you want a quality of life. You don't want to say, I should have, could have, would have, had I known 3 years ago I had other options. Do it early. Do it early. You want to know what's in your body.
So, Dr. Catan, when a man goes in for that physical, are there any questions that they should be asking? You know, I'm 53 years old. Do I need to look at doing a PSA? And are there any other things I really need to be looking at doing at that point in time?
Absolutely. So besides the PSA and the prostate cancer screening, we briefly talked about colonoscopy screening or colon cancer screening. And if the man is a smoker or has a strong smoking history, we also have screening tests now for lung cancer. So we can do a low-dose CT scan, which is basically just, you know, almost like getting an x-ray, to find lung cancer early. Prostate cancer is the most common cancer other than skin cancers, at least in the U.S., in America. But it is the second most deadly cancer. So lung cancer is actually the most deadly cancer among males in the U.S. And so we have screening tests to detect lung cancer at an earlier stage before it turns into a later stage, because unfortunately the majority of patients with lung cancer are diagnosed once they already have symptoms. Over half of people with lung cancer have a very advanced stage disease when they're diagnosed, which is different from prostate cancer. Prostate cancer, oftentimes we find that it's not very aggressive disease when it's diagnosed. Only about 1 in 41 men who are diagnosed with prostate cancer end up dying from prostate cancer. And so the rest of those men die of other causes. The sheriff mentioned something about a Gleason score. The Gleason score talks about the aggressiveness of the cancer. So when a man has a biopsy to look for cancer and they find it there, That score tells us how aggressive that cancer is, and it helps us to determine what type of treatment options that person has, and also their prognosis. What is the risk that they will die of this cancer? And so questions, when you're faced with a prostate cancer diagnosis, to ask your doctor are definitely going to be, what are the side effects of the treatments, right? How is surgery versus radiation, and there are different types of radiation as well, how is this going to affect my life? What are the benefits of doing this treatment? What are the cons of doing these treatments?
So, Sheriff Forte, how important and critical was it for you to assemble your team that would get you where you wanted to be, but also make sure that you were in optimal health during the entire process?
I think that was key to my calmness and my confidence, because I had confidence. I had my primary care physician with me. I could call him anytime. I tried not to abuse that, and as well as the urologist. I have both of their numbers, and I could text them at any time. And they would get back with me the same day most of the time. So just having somebody that you have confidence in that didn't appear to be rushed, and I know, you know, they have patients they have to deal with coming in every day, but I never felt that they were rushed talking to me. They answered every question and were patient with me.
Dr. Catan, where can men get more information on prostate cancer, signs, symptoms, and different options for those who may be going through it?
So one good website, if you have access to the internet, is the American Cancer Society. So not only for prostate cancer, but other types of cancers. They'll talk about screening tests as well as how to diagnose cancers and even about treatment options. Of course, asking your own primary doctor, your own physician, is another good resource to get more information about what you need to be doing, signs and symptoms to look out for, things like that.
So, Sheriff Forte, as we close out, do you have anything else that you would like for people to know or share, and tell men why is it critical to get your PSA testing and get your prostate checked?
Because early detection is key. Early detection is key. Simple as that.
So I want to thank Sheriff Forte for being our guest today and sharing his story, because, folks, this is, while we in the African-American community may be afraid to go to the doctor, this is something that if they're telling you that you have it, it's highly curable, but you can't wait. So make sure you get that PSA test. I know I do it every year. I do the colonoscopy. I have different ways I can screen for that since I'm at risk. Find out what your family history is, because that will help you to be able to look at what you may be at risk for down the road. So as we close out, Dr. Catan, do you have any other questions? I know we're going to be back next week with a segment of Ask the Doctor, so people can call in and ask questions next week. So get those questions ready.
Great. Yeah, I just wanted to say one last thing that the sheriff briefly mentioned about how he felt after his cancer diagnosis. And I'll tell my patients, you feel however you need to feel, right? If you feel scared, that's perfectly normal. If you feel that humor is the way to deal with this, that's fine. If you feel sad, that's perfectly fine. If you want to go to work, please do. Don't let anybody else tell you how to feel. You feel however you need to feel to get through this.
So we never end Cowtown Conversations without our Community Minute. Next Thursday, December the 8th, Keys Realty Group will have a real estate speed dating event at Levis Key Restaurant, located at 1103 East 30th Street. That's in the old Wonder Bread building on Truth, for those who don't know where that's at. They're going to be working to help match those who want to buy a house with financial lenders, because, folks, prices are going down. This is a great time to buy a house, and the house that you may have wanted 6 months ago when there was a bidding war, now there's nobody looking at that house, and most likely the price has changed. So the event is going to be from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. That's going to be Thursday, December 8th at 1103 East 30th Street. So if you know anybody looking to buy a house or downsize from your current home, this is a great time to come out, talk to lenders without, you know, pressure. So think about it. For Cowtown Conversations, this has been your host, Joseph Jackson. Join us next week as we host another segment of Ask the Doctor. Have a great day and stay tuned for Signal to Noise.
Bye.